right, this is case 11-281. As a preliminary matter, there's been a motion for a continuance that was filed this morning by the respondent, a motion for continuance of oral argument, and that motion has been denied. So we will proceed. Ms. Kintrell?
Good morning, Your Honors. It's a joy to be before such honorable people. Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court. I'm Doreen Marie Cantrell. I'm the respondent in this matter. I did file a motion for continuance, which has been stated was denied. Otherwise, I would appreciate having representation in this matter. However, since it is the case that I am still pro se, I would like to submit that I have objected to the recommendation of the Board of Grievances and Discipline that I be permanently disbarred, as opposed to continuing the indefinite suspension that has already been imposed. My argument is that permanent disbarment would be detrimental to the public, and that indefinite suspension is the proper remedy in this matter with respect to myself. I cite Lawson, which is I've already cited in my brief, Disciplinary Counsel versus Lawson, case number 2011-131. The primary purpose of disciplinary sanctions is to not to punish an offender, but to protect the public. Even cases of egregious misconduct and illegal drug use, permanent disbarment has been decided against based on a lawyer's probable recovery from drug addiction that caused the ethical breaches. The Ohio Supreme Court tailors a sanction when appropriate to assist in and monitor the attorney's recovery. I submit that indefinite suspension is the proper remedy and that extraordinary circumstances explain why the mitigating factors were not presented by me in this matter. At the time that the hearing occurred, I was incapacitated. And I also argue in the alternative that evidence was presented of mitigating factors, and those were presented by the relator. The relator submitted the judgment entry in my criminal matter that I be ordered into alcohol and drug treatment via JTP and NeoCap. JTP is a jail treatment program of the county jail of Lake County. And NeoCap is Northeastern Ohio Community Alternative Program, which is the purpose of is to admit drug and alcohol abusers in order to protect the public from such harm, in order to facilitate rehabilitation. And I can attest that these programs really do work, but they have to be continued with aftercare. And I submit, above all, that in my situation, I am blessed to have the opportunity to participate in OLAP, which is the Ohio Lawyers Assistance Program. And I can attest that this program has been a tremendous help to me. Through the assistance of OLAP, I have continued my aftercare, and I will continue my aftercare for the rest of my life. And I have the willingness to do so through this program, and it wasn't until that time that I was working with others who have these same dilemmas.
Ms. Cantrell, this hearing was December 16th of 2010, correct?
Yes, it was,
and you
Your
were not,
Honor.
You were not present at that time?
I was not present.
All right, so there was no evidence presented on your behalf?
My argument is that the evidence was presented in the submission of my judgment entry by the relator of being admitted into a drug and alcohol treatment program, two programs. I was ordered into them as a sentence of a theft offense.
You're currently on probation, is that correct?
I am on probation currently, yes, for 3 years and 1 year to be served concurrently. I have completed 1 year of this process.
What are the terms of your probation?
The terms of the probation are to attend 4 12-step meetings per week, and also, since I was in dual diagnosis and NEOCAP, that's Northeastern Ohio Community Alternative Program, is a dual diagnosis program, wherein those that suffer from mental disability are treated. And I am also to continue that treatment as well. And that is part of my terms of probation and all the other terms of probation that apply to everyone.
Counsel, when did you become involved with OLAP?
I signed a contract with OLAP on March 30th of this year.
Of this year, okay.
In other words, I've had the opportunity, 1 month opportunity only to participate, and I impress upon you that it wasn't until I entered that program that I really began recovery. And I don't limit that to chemical dependency, because I believe that the assistance program is designed to help attorneys with other issues as well, including mental disabilities. And it's public record that I have such a disability due to the fact that the Social Security Administration granted my request for disability for a year and a half period due to major depression, borderline personality, and I have just begun successful treatment, very successful treatment. I found a counselor that...
How did you become connected with OLAP?
I knew that it was part of the Supreme Court of Ohio. I knew that it existed. I believe I heard of it for the first time when I attended an ethics seminar. It was a 2-credit seminar that was required of all attorneys in Ohio, and I heard the word, and at the time I didn't believe it applied to me. So I did not start participating until I was ordered into treatment, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Counsel, what has been the nature of your practice before you were suspended?
Your Honor, the nature of my practice for 20 years. For 10 years, primarily, I worked with a firm, Wiles and Richards, for the first few years, I did primarily domestic relations. Then, when my mother died, I turned to the practice of probate and did primarily probate practice for that the next 10 years. I raised 3 children along the way, and I was not continually active in the practice of law during that 20-year period of time. However, I do believe that I helped many people, and I look at my practice as being successful during that 20-year period of time, and I only attribute the downfall to substance abuse.
And how long has it been, how long have you been out of the practice now?
I was suspended in June of 2010.
And how are you supporting yourself now?
I'm on Social Security disability, and I am returning to self-employment, working out of my home. And I have computer skills, and I help some offices with organization. So I'm trying to become rehabilitated in the employment area as well.
If disbarment is the sanction, and I don't know the answer to this, does that eliminate you from the OLAP program?
That is a good question, Your Honor. That is one that I have thought about asking. However, I haven't.
So you don't
answer to that.
You don't know. All right. I don't either. I assume maybe others here do.
I don't have the answer to that, Your Honor. However, I do know that I have signed a 3-year contract beginning on 3/30/11, and it's quite extensive, and it's all to the good. I'm ordered to at first go to a meeting every day, and I've completed that. And then I taper off, and I must go to several different types of 12-step meetings because it's tailored toward the types of dilemmas which I struggle with, Your Honor. Whether or not disbarment would void that contract, I don't have the answer to that question. Right.
Ms. Cantrell, do you have any additional?
No, Your Honor. I rest my case.
Okay. Thank you. Sissa?
Thank you. May it please the Court, Heather Hissom, Assistant Disciplinary Counsel, on behalf of Relator Office of Disciplinary Counsel. The Board in this case properly recommended a sanction of permanent disbarment. The board found that the respondent in this case engaged in illegal behavior that adversely reflects on her honesty and trustworthiness, and also found that she engaged in behavior that adversely reflects on her ability to practice law.
Ms. Hissom, if I could just clarify one thing in the board's, or the findings of fact, conclusions of law that we have in front of us here, it states that there were prior disciplinary offenses. But if I read this correctly, these all stem from the one situation where we have the pleas to the fourth and fifth degree felonies back in September of 2009. Is that correct?
The current case that we're here for today relates to those felonies. The respondent in May 20th, 2010 was indefinitely suspended by this court for what I will refer to as the 2009 case.
But they all stem from that particular case,
they
correct?
Do not. The 2009 case for which she is indefinitely suspended relates to a different set of misconduct. The misconduct in that case related to misuse of her IOLTA, misappropriation of funds from an estate, and the filing of a false document. The charges that have brought the respondent here today, the felony charges, this is the original action on those.
All right, so you're saying there were two separate situations then?
There are two separate cases.
And did they all occur within the same time frame?
They all occurred within the same time frame, with the exception of the falsified document, which had occurred a couple of years previously.
Okay. And did all of these arise out of a drug or alcohol, addiction or a mental health issue? Or do they have other bases?
Unfortunately, there is no evidence in record for either hearing that would answer that question. In the 2009 case, again, the respondent did not appear at that disciplinary hearing and put on evidence on her own behalf. So there is no evidence of mitigation in that record. And again, in the current case that brought us here, she did not appear at the hearing or present evidence of mitigation either.
So the one which led to the indefinite was uncontested on her part?
She actually entered into stipulations of fact and violations and did not appear at the hearing, the same sort of fact pattern that occurred in this current case also.
So there was no argument? Or
there was none.
It was submitted on the record?
It was.
And the mental health issues, what, if anything, do you folks know about that? What are they, and how long have they been a factor in her life?
The only information that we have is what she has attached to her brief in this case. And the information from the criminal case had been submitted in some discovery in the current disciplinary case, but was never submitted to the board. So that's what
you
have is
what we have.
So we
don't know if it was depression or not, which there are others on this court who have immersed themselves in these issues far more than myself, but it would seem to me that in a fair number of our discipline cases, when we find the attorney has been unresponsive and there is a mental health issue, it is usually depression, and that they're just not responding to much of anything going on in their life.
This case is a little bit different. This is not like a default proceeding where she did not file an answer or did not participate.
You mean the case today?
The case today.
Yeah, I understand that. But I mean the prior. And I think what we're grappling with is these drug issues, perhaps they were all intertwined with the prior sanction. Perhaps she's getting a recommendation of disbarment because it's the only thing left when she's got an indefinite. Or if they'd come forward at the same time, if they were going on at the same time, an indefinite, which is what she's asking for, might have been the result.
And currently there's no information in the record that would answer
so you can't
either
help
of those
us
questions
untangle
that would
that
answer
anymore.
Either of those questions
yeah,
now.
Let me try it yeah. This way, Ms. Hissom. The 09 felonies relate to the possession of cocaine. Do you know the date on which that possession occurred?
She was indicted in July of 2009 for trafficking in cocaine, possession of cocaine, and complicity to traffic in cocaine.
Okay, that's helpful. And then, and then there's another plea to three felonies in September of 10. Falsifying an application for Section 8 housing, receiving benefits, and then an additional possession of cocaine, crack cocaine. What are the dates of those activities?
Let me clarify the dates. In February of 2009, the respondent was indicted for one count of tampering with evidence, two counts of falsification, and two counts of theft. Those charges related to the Section 8 application and the receiving of Section 8 benefits that she really didn't qualify for.
Did you say that was 09?
09.
But the plea didn't come till September of 10.
It came in September of 09.
Apparently.
In July of 2009, while those charges were pending, she was indicted for the drug charges. In September of 2009 is when she pled guilty to two counts of theft, one count of possession of cocaine. They ended up consolidating all those criminal cases into one sentencing and plea.
Guess what I'm confused about is why is there two separate plea dates? And what you're telling me about the falsification of the Section 8 housing, at least your brief on page 6 suggests that the plea was in September of 10. I understand September of 09, she pled to grand theft and possession.
That would be a typo in my brief, and I take full responsibility for that. It should say September of 09. There was only one plea, and there were three felonies involved, and it was September of 09.
Is there a subsequent criminal case then?
No, there is only the 09 case.
So she's only been convicted of how many offenses?
Three. Two of theft, one of possession of cocaine, and that's this current disciplinary case that we're here for today.
And you said that the criminal records were obtained in discovery, but they were not presented to the board?
They were not presented to the board. So what?
So you had evidence of her being ordered into treatment and such in those records, but they were not presented to the board? Why not?
No. What's presented to the board is what's stipulated in the stipulated exhibits. What the respondent has referred to as the court-ordered treatment, the NeoCap, and those that information was submitted to the board. The board was aware that she was ordered to those treatment programs.
And was the board, did the board have an understanding that NeoCap is a dual diagnosis involving mental health issues?
I don't know if they did or not. No evidence was presented on that issue.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the theft offenses were precipitated by theft from an estate?
That's in her prior discipline, the 2009 case for which she is currently indefinitely suspended.
Which is not the same case that involves the Section 8 and the falsification of documents and the one count of the possession and trafficking of crack.
That is correct. They are two separate disciplinary cases.
So there are two separate disciplinary cases with two separate sets of felony to be addressed.
She was never charged with a felony from the theft of the estate.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so there is no felony in the first disciplinary case.
But it did precipitate an indefinite. While she was on that indefinite, we have these other cases or other charges that materialize, and those are being dealt with in the criminal justice system, and they precipitate another disciplinary case of which we are here on today. So there's apparently a series of years that this behavior has resulted in criminal activity.
Criminal activity or misconduct, correct.
Okay.
The respondent has presented.
Excuse me, Ms. Hissom,
yes.
Do you have any evidence to suggest that the probationary conditions are not being followed?
I have no information to contradict what the respondent has stated in her brief.
Thank
you.
No.
Counsel, no opportunity to do that.
Okay. The respondent today has come before this court and asked this court to accept information and evidence of her mitigation. However, what she has presented that was attached to her brief does not comport or comply with Procedural Rule 10 of the Board of Grievances and Governance, Board of Commissioners on Grievances and Discipline. Further, this court has stated in previous cases that the record in a disciplinary case closes at the end of that disciplinary case. And I'd also like to point the court's attention to a case, Disciplinary Counsel versus Shaw, which has very similar circumstances. In that case, Mr. Shaw actually attended his hearing and did not present evidence of misconduct, but attempted to present the evidence of his mitigation to this court, and this court stated that it was not the appropriate forum to do so. If there are no further questions, I would end my testimony here today by stating that the permanent disbarment is indeed the appropriate sanction, and we would recommend that the court affirm the board's recommended sanction.
Counsel, are you stating then that this court should not take notice of the fact that she's rather belatedly entered into an OLAP contract?
There's no evidence of the contract in the record. And there's no testimony on her compliance with that contract at this point. So I think that it would be improper for the court to accept that as evidence of mitigation.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Cantrell, you have reserved 3 minutes.
Thank you. I have been convicted of four felonies.
Pardon me?
Four felonies. The the first theft was in Cuyahoga County out of an estate, and it has been combined with the other felonies. As far as probation, it's all to be served in Lake County. It makes it clear that it's all revolving the same set of operative facts, and I wanted to object, and I'm sorry that I did. However, I did object to the phrase series of years of behavior. It was a matter of a few months. However, these criminal cases go on for years, and I wasn't convicted until, as Ms. Hissom said, September, I had the plea in September of 2009, and there has been no criminal conduct since then. And since I picked up the drug for the first time in that few months period, I had no misconduct.
I was going to ask Ms. Cantrell, when is your date of sobriety?
My date of sobriety is 1/11/11.
And counsel, focusing on your mental illness, what is the diagnosis and how is that being addressed?
Mental illness, as Social Security and Disability stated, based on a psychiatrist's opinion, it's major depression and borderline personality. There is no medication for borderline personality. It's a matter of finding the correct counseling.
So are you in treatment now?
Yes, I found a counselor that is helping tremendously, and the depression has been treated by Dr. Abraham of Pathways, who recommended the correct medication.
And that's rather recent in that you're
since January of 2011.
But it seems to me that we have a pattern here that pending this oral argument, this opportunity to present to the court, you're all of a sudden trying to get what would be convincing to the court that you have addressed these issues. And quite frankly, we're looking at April that you got in touch with OLAP?
No, I've been communicating with OLAP since January of 11. However, I was not admitted or accepted into the program until March of 30th of 2011.
So it took 3 months for them to determine that you could enter the program?
It did, Your Honor. It is a strict program, and an attorney must prove that they are willing and that they want the program, and thereby the program works.
Ms. Cantrell, to that point, though, you have been, as you've said, convicted of 4 felonies. According to an exhibit you submitted with your own objections dated March 7th, your probation officer indicates that you completed your aftercare program and all requirements of your community program participation and treatment program on August 24th of 2010, yet you stand here today and say your sobriety date is January 11/11. So you relapsed following apparently your successful completion of your treatment and then just entered into the OLAP program on March 30th. Do I have those dates correct?
Yes, Your Honor, they're all correct.
Thank you.
Did you want me to expand on the reasons
for
that? Your Honor, at times it takes a while to get the program, and treatment is a way to stop the substance abuse, and it is a blessing. And I was in the program for 6 months, so there was no way that I could have relapsed at that time. But when I got out, I hadn't taken step one, which is the powerless over alcohol and drugs, substances. And I thought that I could be like anyone that's normal that could pick up such substances, especially under the circumstances of my depression, that I felt that there was another way, but there isn't. There's no other way. And so eventually I did become more active in the program. I obtained a sponsor, started attending meetings, started reaching out. I'm at the point where I feel I've helped myself tremendously and I want to help others, but I'm sure that will come with time.
Thank you, Ms. Cantrell.
That's my testimony.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our decision.